Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Pastor Dave.
You sound rather silly today.
I'm feeling silly.
You are.
Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Silly and foolish the whole day through. Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy?
I don't think we have time to be crazy today and be silly. We have a whole podcast to do, and we have to get back to Moses out in the wilderness.
Way down south where bananas grow, a flea stepped on an elephant's toe. The elephant said with tears in his eyes, "Why don't you pick on someone your size?"
Boom. All right. If you want to be crazy and silly, how about this verse?
Okay.
Grandpa Moses shot a skunk. Grandma Moses cooked the skunk. Baby Moses ate the skunk. And holy Moses, how they stunk. Boom, boom, boom. Ain't it great to be crazy?
Boom, boom, ain't it great to be
be silly and
foolish the whole day
through. Boom, boom, ain't it great to be crazy? Well, hopefully we've gotten that out of our system.
For now.
We just have to kind of see. Let's pick up, though, with Moses in the wilderness. The 10th plague had happened. They had rushed out of the city. And we are starting at Exodus 13.
Verse 3. Then Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month."
What's amazing
for
here with this,
7 days.
Yep, go ahead. I'm sorry.
For 7 days, eat bread without yeast. And on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord.
And I'm glad you kept on reading, because it was important you read that about the 7 days. If you remember, Moses was always asking Pharaoh, "Let us go out into the wilderness, 3-day journey, so we can worship the Lord for 7 days."
Right.
So we can worship the Lord. And Pharaoh kept saying, "No, no, 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 no." And all Moses was asking for was to go out in the wilderness and to worship. And the answer was always no. Finally, with the 10th plague, Pharaoh said, "Go." Never up to this point was Moses saying, "Let us go. We want to be free. We want to go up to Canaan. We want to start our own country. We're going to be rivals of you, and we're going to knock you down." None of that. We know that from history. But this is the first inkling, and God just had spoken to Moses to tell the people, "You're going to be a free people." This is the first they knew about it, really. Now, they may have had an inkling because of promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they were expecting just to go out to worship. And with this worship of 7 days, it's the unleavened festival that they would then continue for generations to celebrate their leaving slavery in Egypt.
Generations, even up to today.
Let's continue reading. Moses is going to tell the people a few more things. We're picking up at verse 11, verses 11 through 16 of chapter 13 of Exodus.
After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks you, "What does this mean?" say to him, "With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the firstborn male offspring of every womb, and redeem each of my firstborn sons." In contrast to how I was at the beginning of the program, instead of being silly, I'm feeling rather serious. What about me? I'm a woman. And yet it said that all the firstborn males belong to God. The last time I checked, it takes two to have the baby, and the female is the one that has the baby itself.
Well, there's two, probably three reasons for that. One is a cultural, one's a practical, and one's a spiritual. The practical is that in that culture of that day, it was an agricultural and an animal care. And so to do that, the men are the ones who usually did that while the women took care of the homes. Now, they could have flip-flopped it, but they didn't. So it was important to have men to do the work. So that's one reason. So men, at that sense, were important to do the work. Otherwise, there'd be nothing to care for in the house. That's kind of the cultural and the practical together. But even more than that is the spiritual. What's the most important in an society? But seeing your longevity, seeing your family go on, seeing the culture go on. And if you don't have men, you can't do that. And men are so easily killed, especially in warfare, that it was seen as important to have the men. And so what's most important? You give to God. And therefore, it's the male. In today's culture, it doesn't quite jive. I get you. But back then, it was very much so. Very much.
It said, redeem a donkey with a lamb. Why that?
Donkeys were more valuable than lambs. I don't want to say lambs were a dime a dozen, but I think that's just, again, a simple practical thing of the economy of that culture.
And if you don't redeem it, break its neck.
Sounds kind of cruel, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
But it's, well, there's two things there. But wasn't it kind of cruel also in Egypt? What happened? If they weren't covered by the blood, they were killed. And so here, if they're not redeemed, they're killed. It's a constant reminder. If you're not going to redeem it, this is a reminder of what happened in Egypt. But secondly, God is saying, that one's mine. If you're not going to redeem it, you don't get to keep it. It has to die. And that way it's mine as well. So it's a practical thing of we no longer get to keep that firstborn. It is God's. And the whole point of this redemption is that it was pointing to the fact that things are not ours. We think we possess and hold things, even our lives. Mm-hmm. We don't. Or if we do, and actually, we don't possess our lives. Right now, we talk about being in bondage to sin, death, and the devil. And so God has to redeem us from that.
With his firstborn son.
With his firstborn, which did die.
And was raised again.
Well, let's continue on reading, because it actually gets rather interesting here in the chapter 13, verses 17 to the end of the chapter, verse 22.
When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not leave them on the road through the Philistine country, though a bit was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left the place in front of the people. As I see it, there are three sections to this particular group of verses. There's the direction of travel, the bones, and the pillars.
Yeah, that's a good, simple way to look at it. The direction. It mentioned the way they went. Did you know, actually, there is a shorter way? It's called the Way of the Sea. Could have gotten them up into Canaan in 4 days.
Four days.
Where this took them way out to the Mount Sinai and then around. Eventually, we'll learn it would take a good 3 months by the journey they took.
That doesn't count the 40 years that...
No, that's a whole different story. We'll get to that in a minute.
Right.
Not in a minute. We'll get to that in a while, but... They could have gotten there in 3 months. Why did God take them that long way? Some are obvious reasons, you think.
It says that he didn't want to take them through the Philistine country because they were a very warlike people, and he didn't think they were ready for war yet.
Nope, not at all. Which is a wonderful thing about our God. I mean, he understands who we are, and he protects us. And so he protected his people by not bringing them into the vicious fight. By the way, Goliath was a Philistine.
I remember.
And so they're very warlike. He was the giant that David slew. Yeah. And so he took them another way so that they could be more ready for hard battle after they, I mean, after all, they just come out of slavery of 430 years. They knew how to do a trowel because of bricks, but they didn't know how to wield a sword or arrows or anything like that. Yeah. There's a couple more reasons that God also brought them the long route. And some of these we actually read about. And it's kind of like when I mention these, you probably go, oh, yeah. When God called Moses at the burning bush, it was at Mount Sinai. And he said, I will bring you and the people back here to worship me here. And so God was keeping a promise. And it was a sign to Moses that, hey, we're going back. And, oh, you are the God. Because Moses would have a long journey. You already alluded to the wilderness of 40 years.
Right.
Because of their disobedience, that he would have to. And this was a reminder that God was always faithful. But there's still another duh. And it is that the Israelites would be faithful to their word. What did they always say to Pharaoh when they were in Egypt? Let us go
3 days into the wilderness so that we may worship.
Yeah. And if they would have just went shoop right up onto Canaan, they would have been liars. And, well, do you really want to follow a God who's leading a people of liars? No. So they had to be faithful to their word as well. Those are some of the reasons. There's probably even more. Well, certainly God had to, at the Mount Sinai, settle up. Okay, I'm your God. I pulled you out of slavery. Now, here's what you are when you are my people. Kind of like what we go through in our daily life, isn't it? I mean, in some ways, that's what I'm teaching junior confirmation class right now to the 7th and 8th graders at our church. And I'm teaching them about God and Jesus and some of the basic things so that they have that basic understanding who their God is, who brought them out of slavery of sin through the waters of baptism, which we'll get to in a minute by the Red Sea, is symbol of baptism. So God really wanted to make sure his people understood who he was. And that would take some time. That would take some time. What do you make of the bones?
The bones, I think that Joseph, in death, wanted to be returned to his homeland again. He was not native Egyptian, although he had great power, and he wanted his bones to rest back in Canaan again.
Yeah, yeah. Back where he felt he belonged. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another reason would be carrying these through the wilderness all this time. It's a reminder to the people, when Joseph's bones are at rest, then we are at rest in the promised land as well.
I've heard that it's guessed that Jacob and maybe some of the other sons of Israel had their bones taken back as well. But we don't
probably
know.
True that. True that. And then we come to the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. I'm just so fascinated by these two things.
That's interesting because
it went with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead.
It's interesting because I note them in my head, but not needing light or a guide like that. Mm-hmm. I don't pay much attention.
I see your point. I see your point. Yeah, yeah. And if you are doing Christmas shopping, how do you do that many times?
Nowadays, I do it online.
Well, before that?
I had to go with someone.
Mm-hmm.
and get help, and tell them what I wanted, and then they would guide me to the right aisle.
And how would they guide you?
I would hold their elbow.
Yeah. So they were a guide and a lead, just like the pillar of cloud. So even though you don't see it, you can relate to that very well. Me too.
True.
Me too. Yeah. I find it amazing because God understood that we as human beings are people of our senses, taste, touch, smell, sight, and sound. And even though we're missing one, he knows that we need to be touched by them in order to be assured of his presence and his guidance. And so he gave that visible pillar at all times, because I'm not sure that people really still knew this God who now called them out of slavery. And, oh, he said through Moses, yeah, I'll be with you. But will he really? Or is he just going to bring us and then leave us? And this was a visible sign for them that he will never leave them or forsake them. Now, do we have anything like that today? We do.
We do?
Yeah. Yeah. We talk about Jesus, the Word made flesh. He was visible. But the Word also then is the proclaimed Word through pastors.
Of course.
It's His Word that we just read and that you listen to. And so and as the word of encouragement from friends. So the word of God is with us. But the visible signs also, many churches hold to the fact that communion, bread and wine, isn't just that, but God is giving himself also to us, his body and blood. And so there's a visible, tangible thing. Same with baptism. There's water. There's you can feel it and be touched by it, as well as hear it splashing.
Of course.
God connecting his word with these things is showing us he is with us.
Pharaoh, Pharaoh, oh baby, let my people go. Oof.
Cecilia.
What?
Oh,
what?
We can't sing that song yet.
What?
No. That's about the Red Sea. That's the Red Sea. You're going to have to come back to room 4216 next week. That's when we talk about Pharaoh at the Red Sea.
Can't we keep going? Where did part?
I know. Oh, there's so many good parts. I love the pillars of fire and clouds. For me, I was excited about that because that's going to take them all the way through the wilderness, where the Red Sea, they're in and they're out.
It takes longer than just being in and out anyway.
Are you going to join me next week and come back to room 4216 to look at the Red Sea?
I'll definitely be there. I hope our listeners will be there.
I hope so too. Until then, if you got questions, by all means, whether it's about this episode or anything else, please write us, and you can do so at
info
info
at not dash alone
not, and that's the dash line, alone
dot
net. And remember,
we
are not
alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.